Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast with Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Thanks for listening. We appreciate your time. We're going to talk about Wichita State volleyball today. The Shockers are on a roll, and their back row is a big part of that success. Coach Chris Lamb has talked about it a lot this season, so we're going to talk to Morgan Weber and Gabby Moss about the back row and many other topics. Morgan is a senior. She is from Iowa. Gabby is a sophomore. She is from Colorado. Gabby leads the Shockers with 289 digs and 15 service aces. Morgan has 11 aces and 166 digs. Shockers are 15-5, 9-1 in the American Athletic Conference. They are percentage points behind SMU, which is 10-1 in the conference standings. Shockers have won 7 in a row, including a split at SMU, entering this weekend when they will be headed to Florida Atlantic on Friday and Memphis on Sunday. So, Morgan, how's the atmosphere different around this team now that it is firmly in the race? Conference title, NCAA berth, it's all right there for the Shockers. How's that different than maybe the last few years?
I feel like we kind of came in with a different mindset this year as just being more together as a team and playing for each other. Not only that, but like I feel like everybody on the team has had a lot better connections, getting to know people a little bit more. We've kind of set that up last spring a little better, trying to do more team stuff. And like I said, just getting to know people better, which has really helped the atmosphere of everybody on the team.
What was your favorite get to know each other spring activity?
Probably spike ball. Spike ball was kind of fun. Like, we all got to be still competitive, but you had a different partner. So,
okay. Where'd you play spike ball at?
We just did it in the multi. That was pretty early on, too,
in the spring, yeah.
Who was the best spike ball player? Did somebody dominate?
Who won that? I think it was...
Stout, maybe.
No, me and Stout were together. We lost. Okay. I think it was Katie and Izzy.
Yeah.
Who won. And then they played... Ashley and Katie in the finals.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay, spike ball, good stuff. Gabby, how do you describe the mood? There's stuff at stake. These matches, they all matter. It's a tight race. SMU, Wichita State, Rice are all kind of right in there. What's it like when you show up to the gym on a daily basis and this is all on the table?
It's really exciting to know that like we have 100% control of like what happens for the rest of the season. And I think that, you know, Weber kind of touched on it, like we're so in this together, and like we know that we like to say us versus us a lot, so like we're either gonna come together and win the whole thing or we could beat ourselves. Like, we know that if we play our game, we're always gonna win. I think that coming into the gym like every single day, like we know that we have something at stake here, so working really hard and like really fine-tuning our skills is just like really important to us right now, because we do know that like we have a shot at doing something that we haven't done in a long time here at Wichita State. So
since 2017.
Yeah, so it's exciting.
Gabby, is there a big moment to the season at this point? Was there a match or a practice or a speech or spike ball that you look back on right now and say, yeah, that was really helpful or that set us in the right direction?
I honestly think after our loss at SMU was a really big turning point for us, because I think it kind of lit a fire under us to say, you know what, like, we did not play the way that we can, and we can beat this SMU team. And I think that it really, like, was a turning point for our season. Like, we haven't lost a game since, and I think that coming around and winning the next game at SMU, I think that it really showed, like, we can do anything that we put our minds to if we play together as a team. And I honestly think, like, it was really just a good momentum builder and a confidence builder that regardless of, like, what happens, like, we are a really good volleyball team when we come together and we play together. So I think that the loss at SMU really was like our turning point in like coming together and like knowing that we have a shot at winning.
So the Shockers were swept at SMU on a Friday night, came back the Sunday, right?
Yes, the Sunday.
And beat SMU 3-1. Have not lost since that Friday night at SMU. Morgan, how about you? Is there a light bulb moment or anything like that that you look back on?
No, yeah, I kind of agree with Gabby on that. That loss kind of like was a shot to the face.
Yeah.
And it just kind of was a turning point for us where we got to figure out what we need to do to be successful and be the team that can win the conference and whatnot. So I think that really like put everything into perspective on how like we have to do these things if we want to be end up being number one.
So Chris Lamb has talked glowingly about the back row. I think going all the way back to the spring, he had a really good feeling about that group back there. Morgan, why? What makes that group so solid?
Once again, I think it kind of has to do with, like, the connections that we've built with people over the spring and going into this fall. I feel like we all feel a lot more comfortable with each other and trusting each other to make different moves towards balls and stuff, so...
Hi, this is Rick Miuma, president of Wichita State University. Check out the latest episode of the Forward Together podcast. Each episode, I sit down with different guests from Shocker Nation to celebrate the vision and mission of Wichita State University. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Gabby, you joined the Shockers back in January, transferring from TCU. What was your first impression of the Littles, and did that give you some hints this was going to be a good year for that group?
Yeah, from the moment I walked into the gym in January, like, I knew this Littles group was going to be really good, like, very talented group, and Lambeau has said since the spring that we could be one of the best Littles group in the American. I think just having that confidence from them, and we practice together every day, like, we knew that we could do something special with this group, and honestly, like, our Littles group gets along so well off the court that it just, you can see that on the court and just, like, the relationships that we have with each other. And I've never been part of a Littles group that, like, trusts each other so much. Like, I have no worries that, like, Weber next to me is going to get the ball. Like, I have no fear of that. And, like, it's honestly so, like, nice just to have people next to you that you know are going to ball out for you every day and be right next to you when you make a mistake. Like, we just trust each other so much that it's really nice, and that's why we're so good, is because we trust each other so much.
This seems like the same question I ask catchers in softball and baseball. You know, what kind of person wants to sit back there and go through that kind of physical toll?
Yeah.
What kind of person is it that wants to sit in the back row? People are rocketing volleyballs at you, 40 miles an hour. You are. It's kind of the position where you don't get as much of the credit, but maybe you get, you know, it's pretty obvious when you don't do your job. Describe the personality type. Morgan, what does it take to play back there and thrive?
I don't know. It just takes a lot of grit. I mean, we get balls thrown around. You got to throw your body everywhere. And like I said, it's all for your team. So every point matters. Every ball matters. So whatever that takes, is that's what you got to do. So
Gabby, I think we had this conversation earlier. Did you play catcher?
Yeah, okay. I was a catcher in softball.
Okay, well, that set me up perfectly. Yeah. Yeah, what is it about back row players, liberos, DSs?
I've always just been drawn to the positions that aren't in the spotlight and do kind of the dirty work behind the scenes. I've always just loved it. That's why I loved catching in softball. That's why I love being libero in volleyball. Like, there's just something for me personally that's so rewarding about allowing my teammates to be super successful. Like, my favorite thing is to get a great dig and then my team, like, smash the ball down. Like, it's there's no better feeling, honestly. So it's one of those positions that you just have to be super giving, and it's not going to be about you most of the time, but that's okay. And honestly, anything to make the team better, like, everything for me is about the girls in front of me. And, you know, it's not for everyone, this type of position group, because it can be grueling. Like, you shank a ball in serve receive and everybody's looking at you. Like, it can be brutal, but it can be so rewarding when you know that at the, like, we started the play because of a great serve, like, a great pass, you know? So it's like, it all starts with us in the back row, and our front row gets to shine and get kills for us and win games for us because of the dirty work in the back row. And the setters are very similar. Like, setters don't get a lot of props either for the stuff that they do. So honestly, it's, I love it, but it can be a grind. But it's all for the betterment of the team, so.
So the Shockers are holding their opponents to a 157 attack percentage. That's third in the conference, number 17 nationally. Coach Chris Lamb likes to refer to that statistic a lot. So there's so much going on in the back row because you're getting targeted by serves. You've got different kinds of serves. Sometimes you can tell there's a teammate, a person in the back row that you know, loses confidence. You've got to help them. Take us through some of the communication. What's going on back there as the opponent is getting ready to serve or hit at you? Morgan, how's that kind of start, and who's in charge?
I wouldn't say necessarily like one person is in charge. We kind of all like chip in with like talking about that, what type of serve it is, whether it's top spin, whether it floats, is it going to drop? Do they serve it deep, short, stuff like that? We just all try to communicate and like make it easier on every passer who maybe gets subbed in, or for the girls who are already in there. But I feel like that has a big part, plays a big part in our success as well, the communication part of it.
Gabby, what's your thoughts on how you keep everything organized? And I guess keeping things positive would also be really important in the back row. How do you do that?
I think just like Weber said, like everybody is communicating back there and everybody has a role when we're in the back row. Like we talk a lot about like what kind of serve it is. Like, is it going to come short? Does this person have a tendency to go deep? And I think like even with like hitters, like we talk about like, okay, they're probably going to go more cross here. Or, like watch the roll shot, watch a set or dump, but just constant communication and trusting like what people are saying to you. Like if Weber's coming to me going, hey, watch a set or dump, then like I trust her to like tell me those things. And I think that's really important. But in service, Eve, like really keeping things positive and saying like, you know what, like you got this, like I believe in you, I'm right behind you. So I think that continuing just to be positive in service Eve is a really big deal, because when you're feeling good in service Eve, like nothing beats that feeling, because you're just like, I'm in a flow, I'm in a rhythm, and just everything's a three. So trying to keep yourself in that same headspace regardless of the outcome is really important, because eventually you will get into that flow. It just takes some encouragement from the people around you, and it's awesome when you have people supporting you in serve receive, because if you shank a ball,
it can be tough.
It can be tough, especially when you have people that are not like helping you. Like I shank a ball and Weber's like, Gabby, like you got this, like I'm right behind you. I think that's really important too, just knowing that people support you through those really mentally challenging moments.
So Chris Lamb dialed back the aggressive serving maybe a couple weeks ago now. The results seem to be really good. You two are two of the stronger servers on this team. Tell us about that change and how it's helped. Morgan, I'll let you start on the serving.
I think it's, well, first off, I think it's helped like us not make as many serving errors. I get being aggressive can be good at times, but sometimes it gets to be a little bit much where we're putting a lot of pressure on us as passers to have to come back after a missed serve. And I think that we've definitely been practicing that more, doing a few drills for our serves just to kind of play it more safe, keep it in, let us play, because we have been doing good enough. Our defense has obviously been doing good enough to keep up with it. I think we've been doing pretty good. I think we've been getting on a lot of runs, serving runs and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Gabby, tell us about the mechanics or the process of becoming a good server. How's it start? How do you learn how to serve?
I think for serving, like the thing that you're taught from really young is like keeping your hand pretty big to get that nice float, and just like having really good hand contact on the ball to get it to move around. And I also think like a big thing that for me for serving is like making sure that like I'm very good at like location placing, because like I'm not the most powerful person. Like I'm a libero, so there's not like, I don't have like a big powerful arm swing like Sophia or Natalie who can just rip the ball. So for me, serving is more of like a location thing. So I'm trying to put a lot of movement on the ball with a really good hand contact and really being good at like placing my serve. So that's more for like me, but every single person has like a different approach to serving and like a different technique to it. Like Natalie's got some incredible serve. Like that girl can go back there and just fling it, and Sophia too, and Ba does her topspin serve. So I think that everybody has very different like techniques and different goals, so that changes for each person. But for me, just having a really great hand contact to get the passers out of position. So.
Morgan, serving short seems to be one of your specialties, and the coach has told me that's maybe the hardest serve to execute. Take us through that. How do you get good at that particular target area?
Oh gosh. I don't really know. I just kind of, as like you went in high school, I kind of started like serving short and whatnot, and you just kind of, it takes a lot of like placement. You just got to work on it and practice it. And You just have to hit it the perfect amount, because if you hit it too hard, then it's a literal free ball.
Like a free ball, yeah. Really?
So, yeah, I know in practice they had us, like in the beginning of the year, we did work on a lot of short serves, which definitely helped just getting more into the flow of feeling comfortable to do that during a game.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like Gabby said, having the coaches have the confidence in me to do that really helps as well.
Is that like a changeup in baseball where you feel like their kinda, back row yeah. is back yeah. there, they're all geared up for something coming at them hard, and now all of a sudden they've got to yeah. scramble and deal
for
with
sure.
something totally different?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, makes sense. So you, both of you were described as, if there was a board game on the table, they will shed blood to win.
Correct.
Agree or, I guess, yeah. I was going to say agree or disagree, but you beat me
most
to that.
Definitely, yeah.
Morgan, why do you agree so quickly?
I don't know, like growing up too, like I just have always been very competitive. My family has always been in sports. So like growing up around that, I didn't want to lose to my older siblings. Like I always wanted to win. Even like seriously in card games, like there would be tears. Like,
oh yeah, my family doesn't do card
games
anymore. I
would be so angry. But no, yeah. So I just kind of think growing up around that has like really made me competitive. Especially since we have always been really into sports, so.
Sure. Morgan's background, for those who don't know, her sister, Bree, right?
Yep.
Excellent volleyball player at Northern Iowa. Morgan won state golf twice mm-hmm. in Iowa, played other sports too. So, yeah, that competitive background would come from all that kind of stuff. Gabby, how does your competitive desires play out?
Yeah, always been super competitive. Like crazy competitive in like Foursquare in elementary school. Like I just wanted to beat everyone.
That's where it started.
And it's always just been that way. Like if anyone is to meet my parents, like you'd be like, all right, that's where Gabby gets it from. Cause like my parents are hyper competitive. My little brother's super competitive. And even when I was like 12 years old on the volleyball court, like my coaches had to tell me like, you need to dial it down because not everybody else around you is this competitive. And I would just get so angry because I was like, come on. But then you've got 12-year-old girls. I mean, I was 12 too, but we were all 12, and some girls were just wanting to have fun, and I was like, no. Like, we need to be winning. Like, this is serious. And it wasn't serious for them, but as I've gotten older, like, and you get to a higher level, like, there's more people like you, which is awesome. And I think that, you know, like, me and Weber are very similar. Like, we'll do anything to win. And I think you can see that on the court. Like, we are flying around. And I don't care if I have bumps or bruises because I just want to win and whatever it takes. And Stout is also very similar to that.
Yeah.
We will do anything to keep the ball alive just because we want to win so badly. And I think that honestly comes from, like, my parents and my family. And
for sure.
They instilled, like, you work hard and you will win. So I think it's just kind of something that has always been that way for me. Always.
So is it important to be on a team where you surround yourself with people who are maybe not equally competitive, but pretty competitive? Is that mm-hmm. part of what you look for in a team?
Yeah.
It definitely helps. I feel like, I would say, yeah, our team is, like, very competitive. Our practices have been, like, kind of insane sometimes. Like, we get into things a lot, and, like, when we play, like, it's always a competitive environment. Every side, whether you're on whatever side you're on or whatever drill we're doing, everybody's trying to win, whether there's points involved or whatnot, whether there's a score or not, we're trying to win. So
yeah.
So the coaches say they love that. They like the competitiveness. They like the energy. Gabby, how do you do all that without alienating a teammate who maybe isn't where you are?
Yeah, I honestly just think it's, like, picking your battles. Like, I think we know, like, pretty well who and who can't, who does well under those certain situations and who is maybe not so much into those things. And that honestly comes with just time and, like, learning who people are, because sometimes it does get super intense in practice and people will get upset and it just, like, you know, next time, like, all right, like, I probably may have crossed a line there, or maybe, like, this isn't the person, like, I can get into it with, like, Weber and I, like, we have, and Stout, like, we'll go, like, across the net and stuff, but there are certain people that you just know, and it makes practice more fun when you can get more people involved in, like, the competitive atmosphere. So, like, at the end of the day, like, it's all love. Like, we love each other, and that's, honestly, like, we know that, and so I think that's also important. Like, nothing is personal when we're having a really competitive atmosphere in the gym, and you can't take it that way, because sometimes emotions do get really high, and you just have to remember, like, at the end of the day, it's just a game, and we all love each other, and we all want what's best for each other. So just remembering that when we're in the gym is really important, too.
Mm-hmm. So. Morgan, what are your techniques for trying to get the best out of people, trying to use your competitiveness to help everybody, but understanding some people are different?
I would say, like, especially on the court, I guess even in practice, too, like, when we're playing, like, games and stuff, I'm trying to always be, like, the hype person or, like, trying to get people to laugh, like, make it fun, too. Like, volleyball is fun, and it should be fun, but, like, it comes down to a point where we have to still stay focused and whatnot. And so just trying to encourage everybody, cheer when they do something good, let them know that it's okay if they make a mistake. That kind of aspect of things I feel like is very important. And so I try my best to be that for people. So
you mentioned being the hype person. Are you ever concerned that Morgan Stout is going to, like, knock you into the first row when she comes with one of her shoves?
So there's been a couple times where it's like, you got to duck out of the way when she's swinging her arms around. I think she almost hit Reagan.
There's a great photo of Reagan, like, dodging Stout's like punch,
like,
in the air.
She turned around and, like, fish, or I don't even know what it was, threw her hand in the air and came, like, across down, and Reagan was, like, back, leaning
it's
back away
photo.
From it. It was so funny.
There have been some enthusiastic volleyball players here at Wichita State, but I don't know if there's anybody as enthusiastic as Morgan Stout. So, Morgan, I'm told you and Morgan Stout are the leaders in the dancing in the locker room on the court, and you are the team's best dancer. Describe your dance style for us.
Oh, gosh. It's one of a kind, that's for sure. I don't know if I'm necessarily the best dancer, but I just really don't. I don't get embarrassed a whole lot. So, like, even if I'm not, like, the greatest dancer, I just kind of, like, try and make people laugh. I'll get in people's faces, stuff like that. But, yeah, I just try to lighten the mood.
important skill. Gabby, what's your favorite book? I'm told you're a big reader.
Oh,
a lot to choose from.
Oh my goodness, this is really difficult. I do love to read. I think it might be a problem because I can, like, read, like, a book in, like, a day. Let me pick my favorite book. Okay, I'm gonna go with, I'm gonna go with Twisted Lies by Anna Huang. It's, like, a series of, like, four books, and I like the Lies book the best. And actually, my book is getting delivered today. It's the 8th book of the series, and I'm so excited.
Wow.
It's going to be at home for me.
Tell us a little bit about this series. What's the general storyline?
It's romance, and it is kind of about, like, a friend group of, like, billionaires. And it is just the best book ever. They're so much fun to read. Because it's like almost like escape from, like, for me, reading is like an escape from, like, everything else that I'm going in life. Like, being a student athlete can be really difficult at sometimes. And just getting to, like, do something that, like, I really love and enjoy is, like, really, like, nice for me. Like, some people like to go on drives and, like, clear their head. I like to read. So, yeah.
It sounds like you are a real physical book person, not a Kindle or an iPad person or audio.
Well, I have both. I like to read my physical copies, but then I also do like having my Kindle because it can get expensive. Like, it's actually a really expensive hobby. Like, to get one book is like $15.
Yeah.
But, like, so, like, my Kindle, like, I pay for, like, a membership every month, which is like $15 a month, but I probably read like 10 books a month on it. So, like, it, like, evens out, you know?
Oh my gosh.
If you were watching on YouTube, you would have seen Morgan Weber just kind of be amazed that you read that many books.
It's a problem. I'm not a reader. I'm not a reader, though. So.
I try to get, like, okay, so, like, my house. So I live with Emerson, Katie Galligan, and Lauren Wheeler. And me, Katie, and Wheeler all read. And we all read, like, the same books. Like, we'll read them together, kind of like a book club. Emerson wants nothing to do with it. That girl, I tried to get her to read a book, and she has yet to pick it up. It's been sitting in her room.
Me and Emerson are the same. We're more of the drive around and listen to music girls.
Whereas I can just, like, lay in bed and just read a book all day and be totally content with my life.
Well, don't give up. You never know. There may be a book that...
I'll help you.
That gets Emerson.
Maybe when I get older.
Older?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Yes, Katie Galligan, she helped me with a lot of my intel here. Another item she suggested was talking with Morgan about shoes. Tell us about your shoe game. That was Katie Galligan's suggestion.
I have a lot of shoes, whether it's like tennis shoes, casual shoes, whatever. I probably have like over 50 pairs of shoes, and it feeds from my mother. My mom is big on flip-flops. My mom is big on flip-flops, but she also has a lot of tennis shoes too. So that is her. I get that from her.
Flip-flops.
Do you have a favorite brand, style?
My favorite brand is probably Nike, just because they have a lot of different options, and you can go a lot of different ways with them. They have, like, tennis shoes. They have, like, the casual lifestyle shoes. But, yeah, going to definitely expand, get more.
More shoes. There's always room for more shoes. Gabby, what advice would you give a high school senior who is about to start their college journey? What should they look for in a college? What should they know about, you know, starting this whole academic, athletic, social, away from home? What's your advice?
I think that first, when like choosing a college, I think it's really important to, the most important thing I think should be the coaching staff. Because obviously like I'm a transfer, so like my values that I had in high school are very different than like my second time around in like the recruiting process. It was really important to me to find a coaching staff that, like, loved me for who I am as a person and not just as a volleyball player. And I think that that's really important. Like, Wichita, like, the coaches love me for me, and being a great volleyball player is an add-on. And I think that that's really important. And it's really hard to understand coming out of high school, I think, because, like, you're fed, like, oh, you want to go to, like, a huge school, like a football school. And I think that, like, that's not really that important at the end of the day. Like, what's important is that you're surrounded by people that love you, and I think that that's really important. And, like, probably my biggest advice for, like, someone going into their college, like, experience is, like, it's going to be hard, but, like, love the hard moments, because that's, like, that's the best part. Like, the days that are really tough, like, you look back and you're like, wow, like, I did that. Like, I think that's really important, is, like, really being appreciative for, like, this where you are. And I think that that's really cool, because not everyone gets to be a college athlete, and not everyone gets that opportunity. So being super, like, grateful for the opportunity and learning to love the hard moments, I think, is, like, really special. So,
Morgan, did your sister help you with your college search journey?
Yes and no, I guess. I mean, my sister, obviously, like, she stayed close to home and whatnot. We lived about, like, 15 minutes away from you and I. So she was always back home and whatnot. But I would say, like, the biggest thing was is, like, I don't know, getting away from home was, like, kind of a very good experience. And, like, I even have talked to her about it, and she's like, yeah, like, I wish I could have done, like, taken that back and, like, kind of got away and, like, experienced something new, which I feel like being from a really small town and coming to, like, here, which I get, it's not, like, super far away and whatnot, but, like, it's definitely a different atmosphere than being 15 minutes away from my parents, where I can go home and get whatever I want and... You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, yeah.
Sure, much different. What would your advice be to a youngster starting on their college journey?
I would say probably be okay with being uncomfortable and, like, being okay with change, because change can lead to good things. I feel like that definitely was big with me too, because I was not used to big city at all. And, well, Wichita doesn't seem like a huge city. I mean, it is the biggest in Kansas. That is probably one thing. And then another thing is just, I don't know. It's an experience, and, like, it's good. I don't know how else to describe it. Just be willing to be uncomfortable and grow. You'll grow as a human.
Okay. Gabby Moss and Morgan Weber talked volleyball with us today. The Shockers, they are in first place tie with SMU in the American Athletic Conference standings. They go on the road this weekend. They are at Florida Atlantic and on Friday at Memphis on Sunday. Morgan and Gabby, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com.
Malcolm out near the timeline. Left side of the floor to Baker. Ron works deeper to the wing. Fires a three. Good! Ron Baker with his third 3-point field goal of the game, and Wichita State goes ahead by 4.